This hour is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, the nation's leader in independently owned and operated talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Yes, I just wonder if E.T., having abducted Chris when he was very young, and Chris, you did have, frankly, some experiences early on.
No, singular. One experience to my conscious knowledge.
To your conscious knowledge, would you think that was an abduction experience then?
No.
Okay.
I would hope not. I was kind of missing there for a while until my sister found me, but I don't have any conscious recollection of being taken anywhere. Although I did have a case that was referred to me by a county sheriff that was absolutely a mind blower. Again, this is one of those cases where a female abductee fell in love with her abductors, and it was kind of a cosmic sort of Stockholm syndrome. She said that he was a great lover, and she especially liked it when he dressed up in his gold lamé cape because he looked like Elvis.
Wow. I never got a case like that.
Yeah, pretty interesting. She had quite a bit of tantalizing evidence about a missing pregnancy that occurred just as she was entering a third trimester. A very amazing case. I dovetailed some of her journal entries of some of her claims when these incidences allegedly occurred. And sure enough, on that side of the San Luis Valley, we did have other reports of unusual lights, that sort of thing, similar to what you described earlier. So I don't throw this whole thing out by any stretch. There is, I think, something at the core of this. I think it is my own personal appraisal of all this tends to be a little bit more conservative. I do think that we're dealing with something that is hiding behind the appearance of an abduction. And as Gene brought up earlier, that just may be some sort of screen memory, that there might be something more to it. This whole idea that's been promoted by Melinda Leslie, Stephen Greer, and others, that our own military may be behind a number of these, if not a sizable percentage of these cases, is also something that shouldn't be discounted.
What's your take about that, Peter, before we get into the subject of that book of yours? What do you think about the possibility that the military may have been involved in at least some abduction-type experiences?
Well, I try to take the point of view that who are any of us to categorically say what is or isn't here? I object tremendously to Dr. Greer's putting forward regularly the idea that all quote-unquote bad or negative abductions are military-related abductions. Why? Because Dr. Greer knows for a fact that all extraterrestrials or other intelligences are good. For me, that is the height of intellectual arrogance, unprovable. You know, I mean, it's nonsense. It is an area, I have to say, that I have only looked into peripherally. And as such, I don't have a fully formed opinion of it. And I'm not trying to weasel out here. I just don't know. Certainly the military mindset can be pretty damn devious. I wouldn't discount it, but I think it's relied on tremendously by people who have become very attached to it as a point of view. For the more than 30 years I've been in this work, I have followed a few simple rules, which is whenever I enter into a new investigation, and it can be one like the Rendlesham Forest incident, which was a dedicated 9 years and then following up another 16 years of focused interest, or just sitting with somebody in a hotel lobby that wants to relate something that's very important to them to you, that I go in without any agenda. I think that a lot of my colleagues do have an absolute belief or specific point of view or a pet theory that overtly or covertly they want to prove or validate or have recognized. I will follow the evidence wherever it goes and then do my best to lay it out for anybody interested in reading about it or hearing about it as objectively as I'm capable of. So I'm always open to any possibility, no matter how remote it might seem.
Yeah, that's called intellectual honesty, as opposed to selective thinking and putting blinders on and being intellectually dishonest by throwing data out.
Well, I'm doing my best to do that, and I do occasionally irritate readers or listeners or people in the field by being very careful to parse what I absolutely know and could prove in a court of law with the evidence that I've collected to what I absolutely believe is the case but can't prove to what I think or fear or wonder about. And I think sometimes folks in the field tend to jumble that information together or to present what they believe or long for or hope is the case as fact, as opposed to what I believe or hope for or long for.
Hey, this is a good way for us to segue into this book of yours, which is 7 parts PDF version of a book over at Phenomena Magazine.
Yes.
Okay. And we have the link in our forums at forum.theparacast.com. We will have the link in our announcement for this episode, so you can get yourself a copy and see what he's talking about. And I'll give you the title again. It's Deliberate Deception, A Case of Disinformation in the UFO Research Community, with an epilogue by Colin Andrews, who's been on the Paracast too. So let's start at the beginning. Cut to the chase, Peter Robbins.
Yep.
What is that case of disinformation that we're talking about in this book?
Okay, first, it is a book that the nice folks at Phenomena Magazine felt was so important that they decided to publish for me online, because I had decided in a very impractical but idealistic way that I did not want to profit from the 700 or so hours I spent on it, because I knew some yutz was going to accuse me of being in it for the money. So I basically bit the bullet and made it available to every reader who wanted to for free. They call it a special report. I call it a book. And to cut to the chase and try to give as capsule and accurate an idea of what this is, many people know of my involvement as an investigative writer in England's best-known and best-documented incident, the Rendlesham Forest UFO incident, which is actually a series of events that occurred over 3 consecutive nights between Christmas and New Year's of 1980. The book that Larry Warren and I wrote on the subject, Left at Eastgate, went on to become a smash bestseller in the United Kingdom and really changed a number of perceptions about the subject in general, more specifically the events that occurred in Suffolk. Last year, my colleague Gary Haseltine, who you know, Gary is a now retired Yorkshire police detective and a specialist in forensic evidence in UFO-related incidents. He also publishes a good bi-monthly magazine that is available online called UFO Truth Magazine. And I'm their American representative, and I write a regular column for them since they started. Anyway, about a year ago, Gary asked me if I would be interested when the new book, there was a new book we were expecting by the 2 first-night witnesses, was published, if rather than write a column, and I choose whatever subject I want, that I would devote that month to a review of the new book. And I said, certainly. He came back at me in a very insightful way and said, I know that these witnesses have arrayed themselves to a degree against Larry Warren. I, like you, believe that their former deputy base commander has done his best for decades now to drive a wedge between these 3 key witnesses, and that, you know, there's no love lost between you and them. But the third author, who is now part of the project, is Nick Pope, who is a longtime friend and close colleague of yours. And I made it very clear to Gary that I would review the book and would do so with as much objectivity as possible, going out of my way, if anything, to praise them and bring attention to what I felt were positive aspects of the book. And so this past March, I got myself an advanced copy of the book and began to read it. The book is called Encounter in Rendlesham Forest, and I forget the exact subtitle, but it's appropriate to the book.
Let me just do our break here and tell our listeners it's Encounter in Rendlesham Forest, and we had Nick Pope and John Burroughs on the Paracast on May 25th of this year. We have Peter Robbins with us now with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it. So decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
It's that time of year again, and you know what that means. Cold and flu season. But don't worry. HerbalHealer.com has you and your loved ones covered with our safe and natural products. Cold and flu fighters like beta-glucans, olive leaf antiviral capsules, grapefruit seed extract, HHA 4-herb capsules, elderberry power, and respirate. And don't forget about oregacillin for the lungs, normally $34.95. On sale now for only $25. Vitamin D3, 120-count soft gels, only $9. Whole body and homeopathic detoxes for the lungs, kidneys, liver, lymph, and brain. Normally $26.95, now just $20. HerbalHealer.com also offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click the Winter Specials button to save on our natural cold and flu-fighting products. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, so we have Peter Robbins And now he's focusing on his Deliberate Deception book, A Case of Disinformation in the UFO Research Community. We reached the point where you were mentioning the book that Nick Pope had written with several of the people involved in the Rendlesham case, John Burroughs and Jim Peniston. It's subtitled The Inside Story of the World's Best Documented UFO Incident. Let's go on.
Well, even the title, I felt, was somewhat braggadocious in that Jim and John were witnesses who were involved on the first night. There were three nights of events, and sometimes several events on each night. They keep trying to give the impression that their event was the event or the key event. And in fact, it was one of a number of events. What caught me off guard, though, as I began to read the book was first that Nick essentially wrote the book for them, which I was not prepared for. We've had wonderful books written by witnesses who are not trained writers in any number of subjects. And there really is no substitute for that firsthand account of somebody experiencing something. I would point as a very good example to Fire in the Sky, which was published in 1979 and written by Travis Walton. It was not written with a ghostwriter. Travis took his time doing it as somebody without a background as a writer, and I think he did a superb job. What Nick does is he includes statements, a paragraph here or there, by Jim and John, and then they have one chapter that they write. However, my problem with the book was that as I began to read it, I saw a pattern of completely inaccurate information that was woven throughout Nick's text. And the title, Deliberate Deception, has nothing to do with Jim or John, and I want to be clear about that. It has to do with, for me, the fact that when they approached Nick about co-writing the book and helping them tell their story, he certainly did that. But he also took the opportunity to weave a thread of dishonest information throughout the book. Now, I am nothing if not specific in Deliberate Deception. The fact is, I recognized it as in a way that very few people would have otherwise, because I saw what I had written and what my co-author had written and alleged repeatedly taken, never credited, and then either presented in kind of a truncated or incomplete manner or a dishonest manner or presented without the facts attached to it that we include in Left at East Gate. My first thoughts were, I must be reading this wrong, or I've got an overactive imagination, or this just can't be. We're talking about somebody who I counted as a friend and a close colleague. I don't know how many times I was a house guest of Nick's over the many years that he lived in London, or the many, you know, good personal friendship memories that I had. Now, I never kidded myself. I knew that he was a respected ranking personnel in the Ministry of Defense, certainly involved to a degree in intelligence and security. And even when he invited Larry and I to be his house guests for the first time with me, sight unseen, at the beginning and end of our 15-city speaking tour, we just developed what I feel was a very good and warm friendship. Now, here's the deal. Nick and I first corresponded in 1992 when he was, in fact, in that position. And it was only 2 years of the 20-odd years that he was with the ministry that he occupied that desk where he was officially the person looking into UFO accounts for Her Majesty's government. I received a form letter in response to an inquiry I sent, which included the now highly discredited statement of whatever happened was of no defense significance. But what stuck with me about the form letter was he ended it by saying, and in closing, good luck to you with your book. 4 years later, when we completed the manuscript and sold it, but still had 9 months or so before it was going to be published, I reached out to him to find out if he wanted to read a copy of it. He did, and he supplied us the most glowing, brilliant, supportive blurb imaginable, the kind of thing that an author lives for.
Now, I am sensing, let me say this as you continue, a feeling of betrayal here at some point.
Well, I guess that's part of it, but yes and no. If I didn't know Nick as well as I think I do, and know that he is an old-fashioned patriot, that he loves his country, and is dedicated to the security of the United Kingdom in ways that very few people I have ever met anywhere are to their country. For example, Nick Pope is the only person I know who I am convinced would die for the Queen of England if the situation arose. And I don't mean that allegorically, you know, like a dedicated Secret Service person who would take a bullet for the president. He is that dedicated to his nation's security. The crux lies here. He actively helped us with his efforts, with his celebrity, with the fact that, unasked, he reviewed our book, very positively, I might add, for the Ministry of Defense's own in-house monthly magazine. Imagine, 58,000 circulation, and you can guess some of the movers and shakers it went to. He worked very hard to help us make that book the success that it became in the United Kingdom. However, when it became that success, it proved to be very embarrassing to offices and agencies within Her Majesty's government, including the revelation, which came from Larry Warren and no one else, that there was a major treaty violation in terms of America having nuclear ordnance in England at the time. And on that base, he worked around it. Others have come forward to confirm it.
Okay, let's get into that, because that is very interesting already, because obviously the U.S. and the U.K. are bosom buddies.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously there have to be treaties and agreements governing how they have bases or particular installations.
Yes.
And how they work together. So obviously the intelligence agencies have agreements on how they work together. So here, what was the violation? Be more specific.
Yes. The weapons storage area at RAF Woodbridge in Suffolk, I'm sorry, RAF Bentwaters, where the men involved overwhelmingly were stationed, John, Jim, and Larry included, had the largest repository of nuclear ordnance in the NATO establishment that I'm aware of. If I'm wrong, I'd like somebody to establish it. One person who took Larry's account very seriously and became our greatest champion in the UK until he passed about a dozen or 15 years ago was Admiral Lord Peter Hill Norton. Hill Norton was a former Admiral of the Fleet, i.e. the highest ranking naval officer in the British Navy. He went on to become the chief of the Ministry of Defense, essentially the equivalent of a Colin Powell or somebody in that position in the Department of Defense. And when he retired, he became a member of Parliament. We spoke with him. I have correspondence from him. He took this very seriously, and in fact, and this is easily verifiable, and included both in Lefted Eastgate and in Deliberate Deception.
Well, let's go into that in our next segment, okay?
You got it.
All right. Peter Robbins with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason! Jason!
Going once, twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com.
Ouch! My back is out again!
Hi, Dr. Ortman with Wellspring Spinal Care. If you're experiencing neck, mid, or lower back pain, this information is for you. One of the complaints that I hear is, patients receive their typical adjustment, only having to repeat them as the pain returns. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the battle. At Wellspring Spinal Care, we have the entire solution. We use the NUCA approach, utilizing three-dimensional x-rays and gentle touch technology to deliver specific correction. We then design a custom nutritional supplement program which provides essential nutrients targeting the areas of concern. With a NUCA approach and proper nutrition, you'll be on your way to a faster and more permanent recovery. To get you on the road to wellness, visit drortman.com. That's drortman.com. Or call us today, 952-303-9124. That's 952-303-9124. Wellspring Spinal Care. Chiropractic done right.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Oh, the tale being woven here is simply fascinating with Peter Robbins, and the book is Deliberate Deception, which is a free book available in 7 parts, and we'll get you the link from our forums and also from theparacast.com so you can get a copy. Continue, please, sir.
Yeah. What Hill Norton did was on October 28, 1997, he walked out onto the floor of the House of Lords with his copy of the hardcover edition of Left at Eastgate in hand and went one-to-one with Lord Gilbert, who was then the Secretary for Defense, and asked him 4 direct questions taken out of his copy of Left at Eastgate. One about the nuclear presence, one about beams of light being shown down from these unknowns into the weapons storage area, another about a suicide of one of the men who was involved as a witness. I should say that Nick brings these points up in, I'll say, his book without, again, crediting the source and then writing it up in a manner that suggests that Larry Warren was a lone wolf or the only claimant or the only person to have alleged a certain thing when anything could be further from the truth. This is first-rate disinformation. When I say disinformation, I mean a very skillful blending of fact, fiction, and confabulation to produce a certain result. The result being And I challenge anyone to read their book and not come away with this sense that whatever else their book includes, and believe me, there is bloody little, because it was fully vetted by censors for the Ministry of Defense and the Department of Defense. There is nothing, literally nothing new in their book, except to say that we learn that John and Jim's attorney is going after their Air Force records as well. He should. Everything else, we published 17 years before that, but Hill Norton absolutely understood and took very seriously that there was this nuclear treaty violation. That, for starters. Nick goes out of his way to suggest that Larry Warren is the only person to even suggest that there was a suicide. Well, he had good cause to do it. It was his roommate. And Larry and another Air Force personnel were the people who were the ones to respond when he called in on his radio on a night that he was out on the tarmac guarding in a remote area and saying he couldn't take it anymore. They were the ones who found his body. Hill Norton took it very seriously, so seriously that he asked the question in Parliament. Nick dismisses it simply because he says it was a rumor, and John or Jim have no memory of it. Well, it's because it was very well covered up. For me, the most unforgivable part of this is there is a tone of almost sympathetic condescension toward Larry. Poor Larry, you know, he's very upset. Maybe he, these are all implanted memories. And I will say here, and Jim and John and Larry, I know, would be the first to support me on this. There are certain memories that each of them individually have that they are very clear that they are not sure whether they are implanted or actual. But after reading the book and seeing the claims that were being made and understanding how it was only our book that was being singled out to be dismissed, and only Larry Warren's account that was being looked down on as something that could not be trusted. And again, each depiction of Larry is done in an extremely dishonest way, but skillfully. In other words, I can't even call it plagiarism, because everything he steals from our book, he twists or turns or includes in such an incomplete manner that it no longer fits the active definition of same. The other thing is, why would somebody do this? Nick is now officially retired and has been for several years. He lives in America. He's married to an American. And I want to be 100% clear here. I wish Nick Pope well. He is a nice guy. I will always have good memories of our long friendship. I hope he has a long and successful life, makes lots of money, and is happy. That understood. Nick is a disinformation operative. He did the same thing to Colin Andrews some years ago. He's done it in smaller ways to various colleagues and people over the years. I don't feel he can be trusted to put forward honest views on the UFO phenomenon. I think he should be out of the work. I think, again, he should do whatever he wants to make a living, but I will never trust him again. And where I am angry or feel, you said betrayed, really isn't the word. I think that Nick is such a dedicated person in terms of the career that he chose that nothing is more important to him, and possibly even family, than the safety and security of Her Majesty's government. And as the years passed from the time that he was there for us as a friend and a colleague who worked actively to make our book a bestseller, I should also say that our book came out within a week or so of his first book. So in doing so, he was actually helping us gain readers. And if somebody was going to decide to buy one book or the other, he was doing something extraordinarily giving or selfless. But I think as the years continued to pass and his position at the ministry continued to grow, his responsibilities grew, he had second thoughts about having assisted us, and again, in a blowback way, to cause embarrassment to Her Majesty's government. The question for me comes down to three possibilities, Gene and Chris. Number one, did he do this of his own volition to kind of level the karma there or to try to do something to make up for his part in helping our book become the success it became? Or was he asked to do same? Or was he ordered to? Now, yes, he is retired, but only an extremely naive person would assume.
Yeah. Once a spook, always spooky.
Maybe. There are jobs, there are positions that certain people never fully retire from. And it could be the CIA, MI6, the mob, MI5, where there is a loyalty, where you are an asset in place, where you're a member of the old boys network. I can't figure out any other possibility. And because Nick is Nick, and takes his security oath as binding for life, and he, not I, refers to his government masters as a phrase twice in their book, which I thought was a rather shocking choice of words. But he does see himself as subservient to his government masters, and he did what he did, not because he doesn't like me or Larry. In fact, I think, and I have no way of knowing, part of him may feel quite bad about this. I'd like to think that our friendship was valuable to him as well as to me.
You know, and I want to bring something to the table here, something that happened a long, long time ago. And I wonder if there's any connection in the overall sense of what was done, not in the individuals involved.
Yeah.
So we have this very famous book from the 1950s, UFO book, The Report on UFOs, Unidentified Flying Objects, from Edward Ruppelt.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The book came out in 1956, as I recall. And I was there at this particular point in time. I'm old as the hills.
Oh, I know where you're going with this one, Gene.
Okay. So now, 2 or 3 years later, and I think just about the point of his death or after his death, and he was in his late 30s when he died of a heart condition, he comes out with a revised version of the book, 3 more chapters.
Yes.
And at the end of those 3 chapters, he concludes that after conveying the impression that he pretty much bought into UFOs, bought into the possibility of being interplanetary, he now says, using the words, "Do you think UFOs are real?" He uses this phrase, and I think I got the quote almost perfect here, and we'll go into more of this in the next segment. The quote is, "I'm sure they don't," and goes on to explain why he thinks UFOs are not real and are just conventional objects. Let me get into more of this in a moment. Peter Robbins joins us with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
You're listening to GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Lock down your digital life at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Did you know by age 50, half of all men have an enlarged prostate? This means more urges to urinate, longer bathroom trips, waking at night to urinate, or issues with sex. If this sounds familiar, call us now, because we're shipping free bottles of Super Beta Prostate to listeners of this station. Super Beta Prostate is a non-prescription formula guaranteed to reduce the symptoms of your enlarged prostate. It's yours free. Pay only shipping and handling. Just call 1-800-875-6415. In clinical trials, the ingredient in Superbeta Prostate was shown to reduce urges to urinate, improve bladder emptying, reduce waking at night to urinate, and improve quality of life. This Superbeta Prostate free offer is for listeners of this station. But it won't last. Don't wait. Just call 1-800-875-6415. That's 1-800-875-6415. Call 1-800-875-6415.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Three square meals you'll need in an emergency. So the Freeze Dry Guys three square meal unit sale is just a ticket. A variety pack of tasty, nourishing breakfast, lunch, and dinner on sale now. Breakfast is Freeze Dry Guys' favorite. Hot oatmeal and sweet dehydrated bananas. Lunch is Mountain House freeze-dried hot macaroni and cheese and crisp green beans. And dinner is Mountain House long grain wild rice pilaf and hearty beef stew, vegetables, and gravy. Call Freeze Dry Guy and ask for details on the 126 serving three square meals unit. One case normally $164.37, sale price at only $138.90. Save over $25. Get two or three cases and save even more. Or ask about Freeze Dry Guys fall chili special. Always free shipping to lower 48 states. Call 866-404-3663 or click freezedryguy.com. And hurry, the fall chili special and three square meals unit are on sale while supplies last. From the Freeze Dry Guy, the finest freeze dried and dehydrated foods available for long term storage, period.
Alex Jones here. For the last 2 years, I've been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to design a nutraceutical formulation that has truly life-changing health benefits. So many other formulations out there contain toxic ingredients, synthetic additives, and even GMOs. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now is the time to secure Ancient Defense for you and your family. Visit InfoWarsLife.com or call 1-888-253-3139. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
Hello, this is John Burroughs, one of the witnesses to the Rendlesham UFO incident. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So I'm talking here about the change around involving the late Edward Ruppelt and how that might relate to similar behavior, maybe on the part of Nick Pope. So in one of Major Donald Kehoe's books, he mentions this sudden turnaround where three chapters of the book contradicts the previous 20 or 25. Yeah. And he says, quoting supposedly Captain Ruppelt, saying that he was under a lot of pressure from his Air Force masters to backtrack on having a best-selling book that basically demonstrated UFO reality. And this was the way he did it. So can we assume then that Nick Pope wrote this book with Peniston and Burroughs' help to basically cast aspersions on the Rendlesham case to hide key information? Maybe the same thing that happened to Ruppelt in the 50s?
I think there's a parallel to it. I think you're spot on in your opinion and perception of why Ruppelt redacted and changed and backed up. And, oh, gee, did I say they were real? No, they're really not real. This was a good and decent, you know, American Air Force officer, pledged to the security of his country. And when the heat came down, he responded. By the same token, I don't think that Charles Holt is some evil person. I think there's pressure on him and always has been since Larry first outed him. There's no other way to say it. Larry was the one, Larry Warren, to put all those names on the record without their permission, going back to 1982. It certainly was not an asset to Mr. Holt's personal life or professional life. And I think Nick Pope was just responding either to self-assigned pressure or something actual. And I'm not over-dramatizing here. I think that he will always be proud to have a connection to the Ministry of Defense and his very distinguished career there. Also be aware that unlike the Department of Defense, ministry officials have a full equivalent rank, military rank, and despite the fact that, you know, you meet Nick at a conference and he's very accessible and very down to earth, he's got a great sense of humor, great guy to have a beer with, he is a lieutenant colonel in the British military and is now, in that sense, a retired lieutenant colonel on a full pension, I would hope, based on his long years of dedicated work. Also, be aware, why would he have helped us so much when he did? Well, our book was published in England in June of 1997, the 50th anniversary of Kenneth Arnold, the 50th anniversary of Roswell, a summer when the Western world went a little bit UFO crazy. And it would not surprise me that in those months, even the ministry was willing to cut slack and allow him to develop more of a presence in the UFO community, a world where he has been welcomed and where he has been, you know, a very well-known and respected figure, and certainly developed many friendships and good colleagueships with various people. But it was a funny window. And again, perhaps a time when over-enthusiasm was the name of the game. His first book, brilliant title, Open Skies, Closed Minds, was Simon & Schuster. And that summer, my God, you couldn't walk down a street in London without seeing, you know, say every sixth big red bus going by with a huge broadside of it or huge ads in the underground. It was a very well promoted book. And his presence as a ufologist, as somebody who was a official who was allowed to speak about this, was impossible to ignore.
So basically, now, he was the British Edward Ruppelt.
Well, yes. Now, one thing that
hiding in plain sight.
I have always agreed to disagree on was I have always felt that, I forget the exact designation, Air Desk AS2 or something like that, Nick always said that this was the position. He was the person in the government who looked into these things for those 2 years. And when he left, the next person was that person, and so on. My feeling was, and I'm not alone in it, that there are certainly other individuals whose names we don't know, who are cleared to know a great deal more than him, or were more deeply involved in the investigation, or had higher security clearances. His position, to a degree, was public relations, although I don't mean to say that in a way that's condescending. He was the front man, the person they put forward by name, who then really ran with that. I mean, he has referred to himself in promotional ways as the real-life Fox Mulder for many years. And, you know, more power to him in a way he was. But I wanted people to read my book so that they could make their own best decision about my allegations. Again, I feel I've done some of the best investigative work I've ever done. I also resented having to write it. I felt compelled to. It was not something that I willingly would have wanted to do. And in fact, if anybody would have suggested before the fact that I would write a book about this subject, I should also say here that although I don't feel at all that Jim and John were involved in this deception or even aware of it, that there are questions that come up here and a few new developments that you might not be aware of. As recently as this past summer, John Burroughs blew a lot of our minds by saying, number one, I don't trust Nick Pope anymore. Number two, I never saw Jim Peniston touch that craft. I don't remember seeing the craft. And in fact, his dates, his timing is wrong. Also, considering that this whole binary code download into his head, which has now become, I think, a shiny object, something to take our attention away from.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
And the allegation that time travelers from the future, and that is the phrase that he uses, chose him, of anyone else in humanity, to give this coded message to, of thousands of ones and zeros. I had never even heard the term binary code because I'm not a computer person until he first used it in a public forum. Now, Nick opens the chapter on the code by saying for 30 years, Jim Peniston kept a secret. Well, He really didn't. He talked about it as early as 1994 in an hypnotic regression. And he even says in the book, and I'm paraphrasing here ever so slightly, how could I, 24 hours later, sitting in my room, copy out these several thousands of 16 pages, I think, of ones and zeros? How does he know that the message is from time travelers from the future? Because they told him. Now, the coded message is kind of, for me, sort of a, well, it is longitude and latitudes allegedly for a number of very mystical or high energy locations in the world, including locations in Greece, China, a mythical sunken island off the coast of Ireland, and Sedona, Arizona, John Burroughs, where John Burroughs lives now. Jim maintains that this is not open to discussion, and over the several years since he made this public, and I should say he did not make it public for 30 years, and I was there when he did at a conference marking the 30th anniversary in Woodbridge, Suffolk, England. John Burroughs let us know that the first time Jim even mentioned this to him, or that he had any inkling of it, was October 2010, almost 30 years after it happened. And this with the person who was with him when it happened? There are so many things that make no sense about it. I make what I feel is an extremely compelling and reasoned argument in Deliberate Deception that it was not time travelers who put this notion into Jim Peniston's head. It was a highly sophisticated, one of probably a number of highly sophisticated disinformation operations that sit in abeyance waiting for deployment in the event of a significant military UFO incident. What it does, and let's backtrack for a moment. We live in a world right now that even if you're a total skeptic or debunker, if you study the information for this truly anomalous series of events that happened in England in 1980, you are compelled to think, well, if there are UFOs, then this would certainly be a qualifying event. We are living in a society where more and more people are open to this possibility. But when you inject time travelers from our future, and again, who am I to say definitively that it wasn't or that time travel isn't possible? I have my doubts about it. But then it becomes something much more sensationalistic, much more theatrical, much more uniquely interesting to those who long for something like this to be the case.
Let me tell you what's going to be the case. Well, I don't want to get into that, but listen. They call me a mental case, actually, speaking of cases. We have Peter Robbins with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
This is Dan Billett. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste. And even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.